Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. On today's program, we present part two, the concluding part, of National Alliance Chairman William White Williams' recent interview on the David Duke program on the Rents Radio Network. Dr. Duke, whose website is davidduke.com, and Chairman Williams continue their discussion of American politics and what white people can do to secure their interests in an increasingly hostile, increasingly alien, increasingly tyrannical America. This program has been edited for broadcast. When we left off last week, Chairman Williams had just made the point that we separatists cannot possibly be supremacists who want to rule over other races. Listen.
Well, first of all, you know, we don't have any supremacy in this country. The supremacy is owned by the Jews, really, in terms of the banking powers. The 18 of the 20 biggest contributors to Hillary Clinton are Jews. The biggest single contributor to Donald Trump is a Jew. Of course, that's an insurance policy for the Jews, because the Jews themselves in their own publications say that Trump has been more dangerous, more threatening the security of Jews than any other candidate in American history. I can show you that. We know that they control the media, and we know the media is 98% against Trump. And in fact, even things like Fox News is a divided situation. And the rest of the media is just total, but there's a lot of anti-Trump stuff on Fox News. But I want to give you now, again, we're going to go back to the Barrett issue, the Supreme Court justice hearing. And I'm going to just try to use your imagination and the imagination of the audience. If there was an entirely different, and it would have been a very unacceptable questioning of Barrett. So let me just create that. This didn't happen, folks, but imagine if this happened, okay? ABC Evening News announcer, perhaps the most emotional moment of the day was when Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois asked Barrett, the mother of five white children, about the racial anguish that's erupted in this country this year, right? So Durbin then says, imagine if he would ask her this. If he'd have said, Mrs. Barrett, have you seen or learned about the horrific story of Cannon Hinnant? Cannon Hinnant was an innocent 5-year-old white little boy who was shot in the head by a black man execution style. And Barrett answers, I have. So then Durbin says, what impact did that have on you? And Barrett says, Senator, as you might imagine, given that I have five white children, so that was very, very personal for my white family. I was there, and my 17-year-old white daughter, Vivian, you know, who was adopted from Russia, was very concerned as all this was erupting. It was very difficult for her. We wept together in my room for the poor little white child whose angel-like face and head was blown apart by a violent black man. My children to this point in their lives had the benefit of growing up in a very safe and civilized white neighborhood where they have not yet experienced hatred or violence. And for Vivian to understand that there could be a risk for her and her white brother or the son, the white son she might have, that they could one day likely face that kind of horrific brutality, that has been an ongoing conversation for us, like it has for Americans all over the country, especially, of course, for white people who are more than 50 times likely to be robbed, raped, assaulted, or murdered by a black person, and a black person is likely to be brutalized by a white person. Now that, right, that is all true, and these are all facts, but you couldn't even imagine that kind of questioning and that kind of answer, could you?
No, I remember that murder of little Kenan It was in Wilson, North Carolina, and it was covered up by the media for several days before they finally couldn't cover it up anymore. But
there were no demonstrations for this little boy. If it, imagine, and folks, if you don't think this is a, well, that they're going to say, so what? Is that racial or what? If, think about it for a second, folks. If that would have been a black, little five-year-old black kid on a tricycle, shot execution style by the white next-door neighbor, riding his back bike on the white lawn or next to him or something irritated. Do you think that they wouldn't have said this was a racial crime? And this is the, that would have been a bigger, that would have even eclipsed George Floyd, that, that criminal who they made into a saint.
Yeah, that, because that, that little 25 boy is not year old, that 25 year old black murderer had a long record of drug
criminal
convictions.
Right.
And he, what's the bad part was he had had dinner with the little five-year-old's dad the night before. I mean, they're just, that says something. It might have been a drug deal gone bad. Who knows? But they didn't go there.
Or it might have been just, you know, typical white people thinking that, you know, they're going to lessen the danger to their son by being nice to the next-door neighbor while this guy is being incited to violence by the national media. I mean, it's frightening to think about what's going on here. One more thing, too. You know, when I first talked about her, you know, legitimate answer, what she actually answered, again, there's so many stupid things. Again, I mean, for instance, imagine her saying in this thing that, my black child's had the benefit of growing up in a cocoon where they've not yet experienced...
A colored person?
Yes, right. Where they've not yet experienced hatred or violence. Yeah, where they've experienced that hatred and violence from. And for Vivian, her daughter, their black daughter, to understand that there would be risk to her brother and son that she might have one day. Then the ironic thing about that is the only reason that she's able to go to these countries and adopt these blacks and virtue signal to the world about how wonderful she is, right, is because of the hatred and the violence and the absolute lack of civilization and just, you know, the horrible lifestyle they live there in an all-black country of Haiti, right? I mean, so we have a situation in this country where we can't talk about truth. And the reason that that little white child was shot, if there wouldn't have been forced integration of our neighborhoods and our areas, if we'd allowed to be like we once were in the South and around the country even, where blacks had their districts where they lived and whites had their districts, that little boy, Cannon Hinnant, you know, wouldn't have had a black neighbor, you know, who blew his brains out execution style. I mean, and do I believe that, you know, if, you know, what was the reason for this? I mean, I truly believe that race was part of it. And we also saw, and I've talked about this on my show a number of times, we had a veteran of the Second World War whose son was buried in a military cemetery, and I think it was Maryland, and he and his wife of like 60 years, they were like in their 80s, would go put flowers on his grave every day, and a black man killed him, and he admitted it. He killed him for retaliation against the shooting of the quote jogger. Whatever in Georgia, he just found two people, a 86-year-old man, an 87-year-old woman, you know, going to put flowers in the grave, but there's some shot down because they were white people, and yet there's not one in 100,000 white people in this country that could tell you their names or know anything about this horrific. You'd think that'd be a human rights story too. I mean, an old couple going to their son who's buried in a military cemetery to put flowers that they do every day, murdered by a black man because of the racial hatred engendered by the mass media against white people.
Yeah, I was listening to Barrett's answer with one ear yesterday. She started, you know, she's very bright and attractive and conversant in the law. She was number one in her class at Notre Dame, and, you know, she's smart. But she started talking about separability. I said, oh, here it comes. She's a separatist. But no, it was just some arcane legal Maxim or something. But she has these two Haitian adoptees, and I'm just curious if she teaches them about Haitian history and how that former French colony, the blacks, murdered every single white on the island. When was it? You know the history, 1803 or something
Haiti.
Like that.
In Haiti. Yeah. It was the island of San Domingo. And it was Haiti. And they murdered 40,000, all the whites, man, woman, and baby and child.
And then they went after the coloreds because they were mixed.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, America has been pouring money, equivalent to trillions of dollars over the last 150 years, into Haiti. They built them a railway over the entire country. Dr. Pierce, obviously, your patron saint of your organization, wrote about that and talked about it. And they did everything. They took white taxpayers' money. And that's the ironic thing is since the 1960s, under Lyndon Johnson, started the war, quote, war on poverty. And it was supposed to end the poverty of black people and help strengthen the black family and lessen crime, and it's going to bring peace, love, and brotherhood. And since that time, minimum, just from the direct payments, not even counting the law enforcement, the imprisonment, which costs more than, you know, sending a person to a good college today to keep them in prison, right? But even that, I mean, you're talking about $22 trillion. And of that $22 trillion, one could argue proportionally per capita, it was 99% white people's money. White people got less money. You know, their disposable income was less because their taxes were paying for this crap, right?
What do you think about Donald Trump's platinum plan to get more black support, where he's $500 billion?
I don't know if it's just a teaser trying to get more black votes. I couldn't see them following through $500 billion. That is it's another typical program of discrimination, racial discrimination against young people, often working people, are starting their own plumbing business. They're working for a plumber and they start their own plumbing business, or they start their own restaurant. They start their own whatever, right?
At some point, the white taxpayer is going to say enough and withdraw his consent to be taxed and pay for this crazy platinum.
And they're going to be discriminated against. You know, Yelp, the search engine that a lot of people use to find good restaurants and hotels and everything, they are now, listen to this, they're now allowing people who are minorities to put black-owned on their ads. Now, they would never allow white-owned because, you know, white people don't have any right to know if whites own the business, but black-owned. So it's direct discrimination. It's trying to get people, white people who are brainwashed by the media, that
it helps whites to say, okay, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to patronize them. They're black-owned.
Yeah, but that's the purpose of it's the other way around. And also, the only reason that they would even allow doing that is because they know that the lie about white people being so racist is a lie, right? That there's so many whites, and unfortunately, that would do that just because of the propaganda they're giving them. Oh, we've got to go. Forget about that poor white person who's starting that restaurant and is barely able to make ends meet. No, we're just going to, you know. So the whole thing is insane. And not only is it they're doing this, they're also now allowing, listen to this. This is unbelievable. This is like doxing multiplied by the millions every day, right? They're going to let people report racism by the business of any business, any restaurant, any bar. They're going to report the racism, and all somebody's got to do is just write, right? There's no justice here. You're not going to have a court case where they have witnesses. You're not going to have any way to prove it or disprove it, right? But obviously, this is going to be on Yelp. But the United States Justice Department is not going to go in there and file a criminal complaint against Yelp for discrimination, right? I mean, you can't do that if you were white. I mean, the whole thing's amazing. So affirmative action in California, we have Proposition 206. Now, back in 1995, this is after In fact, this was right before I won office to serve as the chairman of a large Republican district in Louisiana. But they invited me to California to debate to debate on the issue of Proposition 206, which was proposed by a way a mixed race, part black, part Asian guy. And the bill basically said that no government entity, no university, no county, no we have parishes here in Louisiana, as you know, no area, no aspect of the state, no university, no school, no any sort of publicly funded thing can discriminate against a person of higher qualifications, that race could not be used, you know, as a way to discriminate against people getting into a university or getting a job training program or being hired by a police department or a fire department or anything like that.
What was the result of that referendum?
55%. This just shows you how the propaganda has an impact after many, many years. 55% of Californians voted for that referendum, right? 55%. And I'll tell you, this is another story that deals with, you know, get a bit of my history, which I think our people are interested in a little bit on my show. But they actually invited me to the University of California with the chief opponent of that bill, a guy named Joe Hicks, who recently died. They've given him these lauded obituaries now in the last year or so, the great Joe Hicks. And they invited me there, and they had a lot of riots, you know, with the left and everything. And so I go there. It was the most covered debate on affirmative action in California's, in America's history. And it was interesting, and it was very publicized. It was on most of the public stations at that point because they thought Joe Hicks was going to whip my ass. And I go on there, and so after that debate, it went on to win 55% of the vote in California. So and interestingly enough, the cuck Republicans, because I was still a Republican. In fact, I was getting ready to run for the House, and also I ran for the chairmanship of the Republican Party in the largest Republican district in Louisiana. And these cuck Republicans were saying, oh, they're just going, you know, they're inviting David Duke because they want to defeat this legislation. Well, it didn't work. And everybody who was anybody watched that debate in California, and it was actually aired around the country too, greatly at that time. And we didn't have the internet then much, but it was definitely aired on a lot of things. And we won. And I'm proud of the fact that I helped win it. Now, what they're doing right now, I just saw the guy who sponsored that bill. Now, these leftist communists are trying to remove it. They're trying to get rid of it, and they're going to make a new constitutional amendment. It was a constitutional amendment that had to be voted on. And a new constitutional amendment is saying that they're getting rid of the old one that said you can't have racial discrimination. And now they're going to have wording that programs, you know, for diversity, you know, and that really means racial preference for certain races, non-whites, are perfectly legal and proper. So the state of California is going to literally enforce massive racial discrimination. I must say something else, too. They still get around this right now in California a lot, the original bill, because what they'll say is they'll take out. In fact, they're demanding that test scores for university are stopped, that you can't use test scores anymore, and you can't use grades, past grades, to determine whether a person's entered into college, you know, but you can use other factors, but you just can't use that, right? And then they just quietly discriminate. But now they're going to make it's going to be a law, basically, in California. You've got to have diversity, which means that you have to discriminate against any young white person, no matter what his income, no matter what obstacles he's overcome with, say, handicaps or difficulties or, you know, problems in his life or broken families or whatever issues they have. And there are many, many millions of white people in California that grow up, you know, as poor or poorer than half of the black people do in California.
Well, whites are leaving California in droves. I mean, they've had enough. They're losing population in California for the first time. And come to East Tennessee. Hey.
So that bill, you know, was for public things, but that bill didn't even, 206, it didn't even address the issue of this massive discrimination by every single one of the Fortune 500 companies. And to it didn't even address that and the affirmative action contracting that exists all over the country with these companies, the private companies, right? Which is massive, a lot bigger than state, even though state is a big part of that too. Didn't even address that. So, I mean, this is the new reality of America, but we're called, you know, the vicious racists, you know? We got 4 minutes left. I want to get your take on this, and there are certain elements of the right or the alt-right that I think are making a big damn mistake. Some of them are, and I'm really worried about this, they're putting out the word. Richard Spencer's one of them. I like the guy in many ways. I don't agree with him on everything, but he says he's voting for Biden, and Biden's much better and all this crap.
Really?
And I just don't understand that at all, because the truth is these Democrats, if they sweep the House and they sweep the Senate, if you don't vote, if you say, well, they're both just as bad, they're not just as bad. At least, you know, Trump actually came out against the race, critical race theory. If they sweep the House and the Senate and the presidency, my God, they will, by executive order or even just file the bill, they'll legalize and they'll make American citizens out of 20 million illegal aliens in the country right now. There'll be no white president elected after that. They will absolutely criminalize your politics and my politics, even though we're totally nonviolent in every way, always have been. I know you have always been that way. They're going to criminalize us as terrorists, even though we condemn any sort of terrorism. And they're going to completely be able to cleanse us, to scrub us, to censor us from the internet. And the internet is the reason why the Jews are so desperate to silence us all, because the reason why people are more aware on the race question, the reason why Trump got elected, many others, is because we could go on social media to a degree. We could do a YouTube video. We can't do that much anymore. We could do these live things. And the fact is, you know, if Biden is elected and these Jewish Bolsheviks around them, this is not only going to mean maybe concentration camps for a lot of people, imprisonment for people, and letting the black criminals out of jail, which they already are saying they're going to do. It's also going to mean taking the internet like a light switch and cutting it off.
Good. I have to say, our national alliance has nothing to do with the alt-right community, and we are racial separatists. And Richard Spencer, if he wants to vote for Biden, good for him. But I don't do social media myself. Internet, these youngsters coming up, they spend all their time on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, all this stuff. I have never been on any
Facebook
of them.
Facebook and Google, right?
Yeah, it's a shame that they live in a virtual world. And anyway,
well, here's the deal,
nationalvanguard.org. Let me put out our online magazine, nationalvanguard.org, and there's lots of articles about you on there, and you'll see we are holding the hard line. And
You've always defended me and recognized the importance of my work, and I so appreciate that. And I love your work, too, and I've always promoted your work, too. Let me just close by saying this to you, one thing, and I don't want people to get the impression that this is just about social media. The truth is they are already taking domain names from sites they don't like. This will become common. They are going to take away, if they get elected, I believe that they will come for your website. They will come for they've already come for the ability of us to even use credit cards. And the point is, we have to be able to use that. That's modern currency. That's like forbidding you to use coin, right, in years past.
Well, we've been deplatformed by all the credit cards.
Right.
And let me say this Jew, Dan Shulman, who owns PayPal, he was interviewed in Wall Street Journal last year.
We're out of time.
Year.
I'm sorry, Will. We're out
of
time.
Well, he admitted the SPLC tells him who to blacklist.
Well, yes. One final word. Listen, Will, what this is going to be is they're going to prevent people from having a website. They're going to prevent people from having an email. They're going to prevent people from expressing themselves at all, and they're going to use these bots. This is the biggest danger to free speech and human rights in the history of the world. You got to vote for Trump. You have no choice. Bye-bye now. Go to davidduke.com and support our efforts and also support the National Alliance. Thanks, folks.
Let me break in to add that the leadership of the National Alliance believes and has believed for its entire existence that we can never vote our way out of our existential plight. We're working for an organizational and national and race-wide future that doesn't involve asking the media or the ignorant majority or the current criminals in Washington for permission to survive as a race. You have been listening to part two, the concluding part, of Fighting for What is Right, with National Alliance Chairman William White Williams being interviewed by Dr. David Duke on the Rents Radio Network. Thanks for being with us today, right here on American Dissident Voices.